we've taken a little bit of a pause. We've been walking through the book of Mark, and we're just going to be pausing for a little bit. Right now, over the Christmas season, we started a new series called Designed to Give, and Pastor Phil kicked us off last week, and it was awesome. I wasn't here, but I watched you online, and good message. I mean, he kicked off this Designed to Give with this idea of do unto others as you would have people do unto you. This kind of this golden rule that you see in Scripture. And it's something that I think that we take for granted. We go, of course, that's what I want to do. But in reality, there's this thing called sin that we deal with, human nature, that really doesn't want to act in that way. We don't really want to do unto others as we would have them do unto you. We'd really typically want to act in such a way where we do unto others as they do to us. Do you relate to that? I know I do. You know, when I get hit, I want to hit back. You know, when I was growing up as a kid, my sisters hit me, man, I want to get back at them. There's something within all of us that really wants to do to others as they do to us, not doing unto others as we would have them do unto us. And so today, in terms of this whole idea of design to give, you know, God created us in such a way where we are designed to give. This whole sin thing gets in the way, but we truly are designed to give. God is a giving God. He just gives constantly. And the scriptures tell us, the Bible tells us that we are made in the image of God. We're made like him. So when we watch God and we watch his character, he actually designed us to be like him. And so when we give, we're doing what God has designed us to do and to be. We're doing what he has designed us to do and to be. But you know what? It inconveniences us sometimes. Today we're going to be talking about being inconvenienced. When we do what God has designed us to do, there's an inconvenience in that. Or maybe we could even reword that and say sacrifice. There's a sacrifice in giving of ourselves. You know, I was thinking about like the Christmas season and, you know, it's a season of giving, right? And I was just thinking of good old Santa Claus and how giving jolly old Saint Nick really is. You know, he prepares all year long and he puts those presents together, and on Christmas Eve, he spends all of Christmas Eve traveling all around the world to give out gifts. And it made me think, you know, who gives gifts to Santa? Whoever thinks about Santa, poor old Santa. I mean, he's just giving all the time. And you know what? There's a joy that Santa has in giving. Now, sometimes I really wonder, you know, he's supposed to travel around the world and give gifts to all the children. But, you know, when I lived in China, I never saw Santa. When I live in Turkey, I never saw Santa. So I sometimes have doubts about Santa. But really, I mean, he just has this joy in giving. And you know, it makes me wonder, does he ever feel inconvenienced at what he does? But, you know, you'd never tell, right? Inconvenienced in what you do. Does any of you guys work in the service industry? Maybe, you know, you work at like Save-On as a teller, you work at Starbucks as a barista, or, you know, and your job really is to give. You're giving all day long. If you're in the service industry, you're giving all day long. And sometimes it's really hard to have that positive attitude of giving. Sometimes people are just, they just inconvenience you. They're just annoying. And sometimes, you know, maybe you go and you're at a restaurant or you go to the grocery store or whatever it is. And you can tell, man, that person who's serving you, they do not want to serve you. Like, you are an inconvenience to them. And you can tell. And you feel like telling them, you need to get into a different job. Because this job just doesn't suit you at all. They're just cranky as all get out. Because they just feel inconvenienced in their giving. Because they're giving all day long and they just don't want to give. I was looking at this scripture this week in Luke chapter 1 and this looking at the Christmas story. You know, the Christmas story is about God giving Jesus to us. The Christmas story is about God giving the Son of God to us. But, you know, I was reading the story of Mary, and we're going to get into it, and it's God giving Jesus through Mary. God giving Jesus through Mary. Let's dive into this. It says in verse 26 of chapter 1, it says, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman." Or in some translations, it would say, "Blessed woman. The Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He'll be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "How can this happen? I am a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit is going to come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby will be born. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God." And in verse 38, we see Mary's response. "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And then the angel left her. It's a supernatural story. A fantastic story. A story of having experience with an angel. I mean, Mary had grown up hearing stories of different people in the past who had encountered an angelic being. She had never known anybody who'd had an experience like this. And here she's having this experience where an angel comes to her. Just a young girl. I mean, most historians who look at this time of Israel thinks that, you know, Mary was maybe 13 years old, 14 years old, just a young girl. They married young. And here she's having an angel come to her, and her whole life is getting upset. The apple cart is being turned upside down. "Mary, you're going to have a baby." And Mary's sitting there going, I'm young. I'm 13 years old, but I do understand the birds and the bees. And, you know, I'm a virgin. I've never been with a man before. How is this possible? Everything was going to change in this young woman's life. God had a huge gift that he was going to give the world in Jesus, and he planned to give it through this young 13, 14-year-old girl. He was going to give through her. Isn't that how God operates? He gives through us. God gives us gifts all the time. And you know what? Majority of the time, he gives those gifts through other people. He gives through us to others. I mean, God could have chosen to, like, place Jesus on the earth in human flesh without being born of anybody. He just could have plopped him down. Jesus could have just arrived on the scene. Just shown up as an adult or as a kid or whatever. But God chose to do it through a young woman. He chose to give through her. And you know what? It was going to affect her entire life. It was going to affect her in positive and negative ways. It's interesting because the angel just focuses on all the positive. I mean, you listen to the angel and you'd be like, man, this is going to be fantastic. Everything is going to be perfect. Everything is going to be smooth. Everything is going to work out. But we know different, don't we? And I think Mary knew different too. It wasn't all going to be positive. There was actually going to be a lot of negative to this. And I think sometimes we don't realize that, even though God wants to give through us, that sometimes there's hard stuff, there's negative stuff that's connected to that. Here is a young lady, 13, 14 years old. She's engaged to be married. She's living within a very conservative Jewish culture that's very different from what we live in today. The expectations upon her were great in terms of her sexual and moral purity. In fact, the laws were so great within the ancient Jewish laws that if someone was accused or found to have been having sex outside of marriage, they could be stoned to death. When this message is coming to her, you can imagine the things that are going through her mind. Oh my goodness, what does this mean? Nobody is going to believe me. I'm going to be called a slut. I'm going to be called a whore. Not just now, but maybe her entire life she dealt with that. No one is going to believe me. In fact, I may lose my life because of this. If Joseph, who is engaged to me, if he decides that he wants to throw me under the bus, he can do that. I'm going to lose my life. She was going to have a long reputation in this small Jewish village for a long time that was going to be probably very negative. But look at her response. May everything you've said about me come true. Another version would say, be it unto me according to your will. There's this response that she has where she's like, God, no matter what, like if this is what you want, may it happen. I see the negative that's going to happen. You're telling me the positive of what this means. But God, whatever you want, may it happen. It's interesting. It was pointed out to me a couple weeks, that Mary was the first skeptic of the virgin birth. We live in a day, I think, when the average person were to read this, they'd be like, really? Come on. You're having a baby, you're pregnant. Oh, sure. Yeah, God did that. And Mary was the first skeptic. She was like, what? This isn't possible. I've never been with anybody, and there's not even any story in the Bible. It's not like I can look back and read another story of someone else in the Bible that's ever had that experience. This isn't possible. This isn't possible. And then you have Joseph, who's going to be married to her. It's her fiance. And he doesn't believe either. I mean, he's a nice guy. He's like, man, I'm going to divorce her privately so that like nothing bad will happen to her. But he's like, yeah, sure, Mary. Yeah, God did that. The Holy Spirit came upon you. Whatever. You weren't faithful to me. I'm divorcing you. And he didn't believe. And then we read later on in the Bible that Jesus' own brothers didn't believe him, his half-brothers. I mean, after Jesus was born, Mary and Joseph, they had other kids. And we read about them in the Bible. And Jesus' own brothers are like, they don't believe this guy. They have no faith in him. Can you imagine? They probably grew up hearing the stories from like Mary and Joseph, and they're just like, whatever. Whatever. I'm not believing that. If Jesus' own family didn't believe, they had difficulty with believing. What about outsiders? We love to give at Christmas time. And I think we do love it because we truly have been designed to give. We've been designed to give. And the Bible says it's more blessed to give than to receive. And when you learn that, it is. There's something joyful, like as a parent, when you wake up on Christmas morning and you're giving your gifts to your kids, it's way more fun to give gifts to your children and see them open it up than to receive a gift yourself. Christmas morning, like at the age that I get to open up gifts, it's nice, but to be able to give it and to see people open up a gift is just so much better. We're fashioned after our Heavenly Father. He loves to give gifts through us, and it's an honor to be able to do it. And God was giving through Mary in this Christmas story. And in verse 48, you know, she was able to have the perspective where she was able to look ahead. And in verse 48, she says, from now on, all generations are going to call me blessed. Despite everything that she was going to experience, she was able to look ahead and have that perspective of looking in the future. She's like, man, this is amazing. This is amazing. You know, everybody, generations past, they're going to call me blessed because of what I'm going to experience. And so looking at Mary's life, there are four things that I see. There are four things that we can do that will allow God to give through us. You have been designed to give. And when I look at this story of Mary, there's four things that I see that allow God to give through us. The first one is right up there. It says, set aside our plans for God's plan. Set aside. You know, I look at the story of Mary and I really do see a young lady who probably had plans. She had plans. She was going to get married. She was going to have a nice quiet life with a carpenter and have kids and a life of obscurity. You know, some people that, you know, they don't really want to be famous. Those who aren't famous want to be famous, and those who are famous don't want to be. You know, some of us, you look at the life of famous people and you're like, that's great for them. I'd like the money, but the fame, no, not so much. I'd like to be able to go to the store without everybody like recognizing me. Mary had plans, I'm sure. And the moment she was met by that angel, everything changed. Everything changed, and she was able to set aside her plans for God's plans. You know, we're really good at making plans. Here in Western culture, if you've ever been in other parts of the world, you realize, man, we're so planned out here, it's unreal. I'll bet you there's a lot of you here today, you have next year's summer vacation already planned out, don't you? Thanks for your honesty. I mean, you got the summer planned out. You got exactly the weeks where you're going camping. You got like the exact weeks that you're going on vacation with your kids. You're going here, you're going there. Christmas is planned out already. You know exactly what's happening for Christmas. Maybe you even have your meals planned out. My sister last night was like, you know, they're coming over for Christmas. They're like, all right, we got to plan the meals, you know. I'm like, really? Do we have to plan everything? You know, living overseas for years, like it kind of rubs off on you. Just at times, you just love going by the seat of your pants, you know? You know, here you go and the school year starts and they like give you like the school calendar. You know exactly, you know, the pro D days, you know, like, you know exactly what's happening like for the entire school year. You know, many of you know we lived, you know, overseas for many years, lived in the Middle East. And I remember when Isaiah first went into kindergarten, and I took him to a school, and we enrolled him in school, and he was in a local school. And I remember going to the school and being like, you know, can you give me a school calendar for the year so we can, you know, knowing like the days off and the holidays and everything are. And the people at the school just looked at me with this really strange look. You want a calendar? No, we don't have anything like that. There's no calendar. And I learned very, very quickly, you know, they didn't plan ahead like that. I mean, they knew it was going on tomorrow, but like next week even, they didn't know what was going on. And the government didn't even. I mean, like we have like winter break, and we know exactly when the 2 weeks are off for school. You know, over there we had winter break, and it was like you wouldn't even know if there was a week or 2 weeks off ahead of time. You found out like the week in advance. Oh yeah, there's 2 weeks. Okay, there's 2 weeks off. The kids would have like what we call pro D days. I wouldn't find out until like 2 days in advance. I mean, that's just how everything operated. So it's just like, you know, nothing was planned out. So like, you know, this last week, you know, I wasn't at church last week. It's because I was in Mexico with my parents. It was their 50th anniversary. I was there with my sisters, and we rented a car, and we're out exploring, and we're going to find stuff. And my sister came on saying, family came on saying, like, we got to plan this out. And I was like, no, we're just going to find this stuff. And I'm just wandering through like the Mexican neighborhoods, you know? And they're like getting like really frustrated. And I'm just like, I'm just enjoying like the non-planning of things, you know, just like cruising around. And they're getting scared. Like maybe the Mexican cartel is going to, no, I'm just enjoying like the little Mexican. I find a little restaurant. I'm like, let's go eat there. And they're like scared. Oh my goodness. We can't eat there. Sorry, I'm getting off track now. But I guess what I'm trying to get at is that, like, we are so planned. And I think sometimes God just wants to come along and he just wants to upset our apple cart. And he's like, yeah, I know you have all this plan, but I have something better. And we have to decide, are we going to be able to shift with what God wants to do in our lives? Can we shift? Or are we so stuck with our plans, we just can't shift with what God's doing? And I look at Mary, and she's just like, yeah, I have these plans, but I'm going to shift with you, God. Because I think that what you have is just so much better than me. Number two, I think that when I look at the life of Mary, one of the things that we can do to allow God to give through us is to adjust our expectations. Adjust our expectations. We have, along with that whole planning thing, you know, we have expectations of what life is going to look like, of how things are going to go. I think that Mary had expectations of how her life was going to unfold. And her expectations had to completely shift of what things were going to look like. When God injects his will and his purposes in our lives, it isn't all clean. I think sometimes when it comes to the Christian life, we think that like if we just follow God just right, we do all the right things, it's going to be nice and neat and tidy. And I look at Mary's life and I'm like, man, that was probably really messy. Really messy. Can you imagine raising children where one is the son of God and the rest are like a total mess? I mean, I just look at that whole family dynamic of that. And I'm like, man, that would have been messy. Her life got really messy. You know, she had children with like two different fathers. Messy. Messy. She had to adjust all of her expectations of what that means. And I think for me, this really challenges me because sometimes when we allow God to give through us, it's not clean and tidy. It can be messy, and our lives get messy, and our lives get hard. And we go, God, are you in this? Like, are you really there? Because this isn't how I expected it. And I look at this, when God planned to give Jesus through Mary, I don't think none of that took him by surprise. None of it took, he knew it was going to be messy and ugly and there was going to be pain involved in it. And yet the angel Gabriel is like, man, you're going to be blessed. You are going to be blessed. One of the things that I see for God to be able to give through us has to do with our attitude. Is sometimes we just need to adjust our attitude. When I look at Mary's life, like what an amazing attitude this young woman had. You know, she very, very easily could have been like when the angel Gabriel said, yeah, you're going to have a baby out of wedlock and everybody's going to call you names and treat you horribly. She could have been like, heck no. No, God, no. You can choose somebody else. I'm sure there's a lot of other young women in Israel that you can do this through. Choose one of them. I'm not up to this. But something tells me that God knew exactly where Mary's heart was. He knew her heart, didn't he? He knew her attitude. And Jesus, I should say, God knew exactly who he was choosing. He knew that he could give through her. He knew her attitude, and he's like, man, I can give through her. Mary, I choose you. I choose you. Really causes me to ask that about myself sometimes. Like, God, is my attitude in the right place where you actually want to choose me to give through me? Is my attitude there? You know, we all know people in our lives that we can ask things from, don't we? Whether it's our family members or friends. When you have a need, when you want to ask something from somebody, you know who to go to, don't you? And you know who not to go to. There's certain people in your life that you know if you were to ask them, they'd be like, you're inconveniencing me. They don't want to. And there's other people in your life where you're like, I know that like whatever I need, if I'm in need, if I need this or that, I know that I can go to them and they'll drop whatever and be like, yes, I'm here for you. And so when we are in that place of need where we need someone to help us in one way or another, we go to those people because we know where their heart and their attitude is at. And sometimes I ask myself that question if, you know, maybe God operates that way too in this story where Jesus knew where God knew exactly who he was choosing to give Jesus through. He knew her attitude. He's like, man, I can give through Mary. I can give through this young girl. And he chose her. And so I go to God. I'm like, God, but would you adjust my attitude so that you can give through me? So that you can give through me. The last thing that I see in Mary's life and for us to God to be able to give through us is for us to adjust our hearing. For us to be able to hear the voice of God when he wants to give through us. Now Mary's, her experience is like very different, right? She had an angel come to her. It was very clear in that way. It'd be great if angels showed up at my doorstep every day and told me what I was supposed to do. But that's not typically how God operates. In fact, in the New Testament, the New Covenant, everything changes. Everything changes. God's like, I want to speak to you. I want to speak to you every single day. In fact, what I'm going to do is I'm going to place my spirit in you. I don't have to send you angels. You don't have to have these crazy supernatural experiences like you see where Angel Gabriel shows up at your door to tell you what God wants you to know. God's like, I'm going to place my spirit in you. I'm going to walk with you every single day. I'm going to speak to you. Are your ears open? Do you know the voice of God in your life? Can you hear him speaking? Can you hear him speaking? Do we recognize the voice of God? You know, this takes time and it takes intentionality. This isn't the same as finding your own voice. You know, within our culture today, it's about finding your voice, finding out who you are. And I think what we see in the Bible is saying, it's not so much about finding your voice, it's can you find the voice of God? Can you hear the voice of God in your life? Can you discover not who you are, but who you are in Jesus, who he has created you to be? How do we recognize the voice of God in our lives? I know for me, it so much of it has been in discovering Jesus through the stories of Jesus and the things that he said in the different letters in the Bible. The more I dive into the stories of Jesus and Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the writings of Peter and Paul, these men and women who walked with Jesus, I discover his personality, I discover what he is like, and his voice, when he speaks into my heart, I begin to recognize it. I begin to recognize it because I've read about him. And it's like, that sounds like Jesus. That sounds like him. And I pray and I seek his face. And as I spend time in prayer and reading the word, it's like I just, his voice becomes more recognizable to me. And so I'm able to hear him. I'm able to adjust my hearing. And this is something that's developed over time. These four things allowing God to give through us. Allowing God to give through us. When Gabriel brought this news, was it a blessing or was it an inconvenience? Was it a blessing or was it an inconvenience? Mary took it as a blessing. And there was these three things that the Gabriel said to her. He said she was blessed. He's like, the Lord is with you. He says, you are highly favored. You are highly favored. Mary, God wants to give through you. Mary, God wants to give through you. And it's going to be messy. And it's going to be hard. And you know, at the end of the day, you're going to watch your firstborn son whipped and tortured and crucified on a cross. But God speaks into her life and he says, man, you're going to be blessed. And in the midst of the pain and the inconvenience, he's going to be with you. He's going to be with you. I look at that and I think that's the key thing. You know, things that we go through in life as God gives through us and the hard things that we experience in that is that when we can say, you know, in the middle of that, God is with me. God is with me. And he chose to trust in me to do this. And because of that, man, I'm favored. I'm favored. So when God gives through us, When we choose to give, are we inconvenienced? Or do we look at like this and say, man, I'm blessed. I'm blessed to give. Man, I'm favored. And God is with me. God is with me. When I look at this story, ultimately, it's not so much about inconvenience as it is about sacrifice, right? And ultimately, this Christmas story ends up with this baby becoming an adult and his ultimate inconvenience or sacrifice for us on the cross. And God displays all of his character of giving as Jesus walks to the cross willingly and sacrifices his life for us. And Jesus has that. All those same attributes that Mary has, that I just said earlier. He has the attitude that is needed. And he's like, man, he's like, I'm blessed to be able to do this. Jesus would have considered a blessing for him to sacrifice his life for us. And he was favored. Why don't you stand with me? This is what I want you guys to be thinking about today a little bit. I'm going to close, and as I close as well, I just wanted to also have a time where as you leave, if you would like to receive prayer for anything that's going on in your life, you have a sickness, you have someone in your family you'd like to receive prayer for, that there will be prayer team members up here at the front, would love to pray for you. I'd hate for you to leave today with something going on in your life that you could just really use prayer for and need prayer for in your life. But before we close, this is the one thing I want you guys to be thinking about today, this Christmas season. And I think it extends beyond the Christmas season, but to say to ourselves, you know, let's be willing. Let's be willing as people of Gateway, as people that follow Jesus, let's be willing to be inconvenienced so God can give through us. Let's be willing to be inconvenienced. Let's be willing to sacrifice. It requires that shift in thought. It requires that shift in attitude. But that's ultimately what Christmas is about. We look at the story of Jesus. We look at the story of Mary. We look at all of that, of Jesus' life. And at the end of the day, it's about giving. It's about giving. God designed for you to give. God designed for you to impact people's lives. And at the end of the day, it's not really you. It's God doing it through you. It wasn't Mary giving. It was God giving through her and her just opening herself up as a vessel to be used by God.